This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums. With me is Pastor Clint Schneckloth, who is the lead pastor at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church. Welcome back.
Thank you. It's really a nice day out.
Speaking of seasons and days, I'm familiar with some of the days that are on the holy calendar, right? Mm-hmm. Christmas, yeah. Easter, Epiphany. But there are others.
Star Wars Day.
Right? No, that one could be put on ice for a while,
I think. But my son, I was explaining to them today what we were talking about in this recording, and I mentioned that we were still officially in the season of Easter. And he said, oh, it can't be Easter anymore. We already had Star Wars Day.
Well, I can't argue with him there.
He's like, how can that be? May the 4th be with you. You know?
But there are these other days.
Yes.
And one of them is Ascension.
So Ascension Day is 40 days after Easter, the resurrection. And it's less known because it doesn't fall on a Sunday. So, you know, like, for example, Easter and some of the other major holidays, they're scheduled for a Sunday. And so therefore, a lot of people experience them because they go to worship on that day. But because it's this specific number of days after Easter, it always falls on a Thursday. There's this time period after the resurrection. You know, if you read the Gospels, you read these different stories of the appearance of Jesus to the disciples that are recorded in the Gospels. He appears to the disciples, and then later Thomas in an upper room, or he's out walking on the road with them. Or there's these different encounters that they have. So some traditions have called this like the Gospel of the 40 days. There was this 40-day period where the resurrected Christ was with the disciples. And then at the conclusion of that time, especially recorded at the end of the Gospel of Luke and then recorded same story at the beginning of Acts, like the Acts of the Apostles, is this narrative of Christ's ascension. And it's one of the weirder Jesus stories, you know?
Like, right.
I mean, there are miracles around Jesus, and obviously the resurrection is a pretty major miracle. That's the major miracle, unless you want to say that, like, the incarnation of God as a human being is the greatest miracle.
The virgin birth.
The virgin birth is pretty major. None of them have quite the same fantasy sci-fi vibe as the ascension, because here he is with the disciples and is talking with them, and then he ascends. And so, like, if you've seen paintings of this, it's typically Jesus is like Iron Man. He's like, starts floating up into the sky and away. And then when it's depicted, he's usually high enough above them that they're looking up, but not gone yet. And they're watching him go up away.
Oh, as a kid, I saw these depictions all the time. I didn't realize that's what I was looking at.
Yeah.
I just thought it was something that was sort of more abstract.
Yeah, no. Well, so this is where we can get into the cosmology of it. But I grew up in a church that had an ascension stained glass window up in the front of the sanctuary. Mm-hmm. So it was like, it's a deep part of my piety because every Sunday I'm sitting there, going up for communion or hearing the sermon. And behind that always is this picture of Christ ascending with the disciples all looking up. And the text in Luke and in Acts basically kind of emphasizes that they were standing there looking up as Jesus ascended. So the one part of it is the, like, action. In the ancient world, around the time of Jesus, there was this, like, basically they imagined that the universe was a seven-story universe. There was, like, an under, like Hades, and then there was the earthly realm, our realm, and then there were these layers of heavens that they believed existed out from there. And that's, like, there's actually even a reference to it in the New Testament. Paul at one time says in one of his letters, I know a man who went up to the seventh heaven, and it was an out of, like, we don't know, like out-of-body experience or something like that that Paul had that he's reporting about himself.
Is that where that phrase comes from?
Yeah, yes.
Oh, okay, go ahead. Mm-hmm. So
there were these heavens, and so they were, you've got them, if that's your worldview, if Jesus is going to go to God, he's going to go up there. Well, we no longer imagine that in the same way anymore because famously, the Russian cosmonaut went up into space and looked out the window. No God there. So, you know, and the conclusion he made was, oh, there must not be any God. But another conclusion could be God is elsewhere than up, or somehow in relationship to existence other than up. So, yeah, people have then, especially more recently, wondered, like, well, what does the ascension mean? What does it mean for Christ? Like, you could say, instead of saying that Christ went up, you could say Christ went away.
Is there tradition around ascension?
So we're doing one together with the Episcopalians and the some other ELCA Lutheran churches in the area are all just hosting an informal Ascension Day service at St. Thomas Episcopal. That's the one that's on the interstate on the way up to Bentonville from Fayetteville that has the windmills out there. You can see them from the interstate. They had a really cool idea this year. The pastor there, Pam, suggested that people could bring kites out and fly them at 5:30. You know, then we're all going to be looking up. And there's a lot of wind there all the time. So she suggested, you know, bring kites out. And then the service is at 6:30. And that's like a kind of a traditional Episcopalian liturgy with communion. And then the texts that you hear from the Ascension. And then we're having a potluck after the service.
Thursday is the is Ascension. Then 10 days after that is Pentecost.
Right.
Any traditions with that?
There are. So
there's an entire denomination sliver that's the Pentecostal church.
Pentecostal church, yeah. I don't know how many Pentecostals are also liturgical in the way that, like, say, Lutherans and Episcopalians and Catholics are, where they keep a church calendar like we do. I think Pentecostalism is more grounded, less in like observing a specific moment when the Spirit came historically, and more about the like the new gifting of the Spirit, you know, like that the Spirit can come into your life and you can speak in tongues or you can have a feeling of God's presence. But for us in the liturgical traditions, what it is it's finally the end. So we keep like this annual church calendar. You know, it starts with Advent that leads up to Christmas. After the Christmas season, there's a little bit of a break around the Epiphany, you know, the star and the stuff that happened in Jesus's early life after his birth. And then you go into Lent, which is the penitential season that leads up to Holy Week. After Holy Week, you have this long Easter season that ends with Star Wars Day. And or Ascension Day. Mm-hmm. And then after the Ascension, then we celebrate the Pentecost. And then that whole rest of the time, like the rest of the year until Advent, is the season after Pentecost. So, and there's a real logic there. It's a cool logic. You have the gifting of the Spirit. It's this big moment. You know, it's described in Acts that the Spirit came on them and that people heard. It's not actually speaking in tongues. It's that each person who received the gift of the Spirit understood the early apostles when they were preaching in their own language. It's a little different than the speaking in tongues you might see in a Pentecostal church. Okay. It's what you call xenolalia as opposed to glossolalia. So glossolalia is speaking in tongues.
Xenolalia?
Xenolalia, foreign, right? Xeno, like xenophobia is fear of foreign things. Xenolalia is speaking foreign things or hearing foreign things in your own language. So what it says in Acts is that there were these people in Jerusalem from all over the region, because this was kind of like a trading center. And you see you had people from Pamphylia and Phrygia and Laodicea and all these regions around Jerusalem. They were in the city for a festival and to trade. They speak other languages. They go to this thing, and these guys who only normally speak like probably Aramaic, they can understand them. That's what happens at Pentecost. And so the Pentecost event makes the gospel like available to other nations, and it starts to go out to other nations. And so then the rest of the time in our church year, we're like observing them go back into the stories of the life of Christ and the Spirit's continuing presence with the community.
Do you know, because you are well versed on historical liturgical observations, once, before, during, or after, who was the Russian cosmonaut? Yuri Gagarin.
Mm-hmm.
After he was up there and we realized that it was confirmed that the seventh heaven wasn't there. Mm-hmm. Were there any crises for believers that this is a little bit different than what they thought when?
I don't think then, because there was already so much like other kind of evidence from observation even before we went up. I don't remember there being major things. The major thing for us, for Christianity, I guess you could say, was more around some of those moments when the entire imagination of what was the center of the universe were reframed, you know?
What rotates around what?
What rotates around what, yeah. And it would have been great if way back we would have stuck with Aristarchus instead of listening to Ptolemy because he had it right.
Right.
And then we lost it. It's not even really Christianity's fault. It's like Ptolemy was like, no, the earth is the center. And it's like, okay, we're all going to believe that the earth is the center for, what, 1,400, 1,500 years?
A while.
A long
yeah.
time.
Yeah.
And then finally we're like, oh, Galileo. So that did cause some... Those shifts caused consternation. There's an ongoing conversation in Christian theology that's pretty fascinating around this, though, still. Because as we find more things and as we develop better, theories of the whole universe, like, say, quantum mechanics, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. how does anything exist at all, and what's the relationship between energy and matter and all that kind of thing, it's made everything much more complex to think about the universe, right? I mean, simple things like we think that the universe might be wrinkled and
right.
you can actually go from one distant place to another because they're not actually that distant from each other on another level. Those kinds of questions become interesting. A majority of the universe, as I understand it, is still actually unaccounted for.
Yes, yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Dark matter.
Right.
And what's that? And so this whole question of like God, whatever God is in relation to all that, has been made more complex by some of those things. And really, it's a lot of that stuff, quantum mechanics, that I think we're still having to wrestle and deal with much more than the astronaut going up into
sure.
space.
Finally, you know, as you were telling me about ascension and what it means to people, I thought, well, this sounds very sacred, and now I understand why in a very capitalist world, Hallmark or somebody else hasn't jumped on it. And I thought, well, no. I mean, Christmas and Easter are pretty sacred. And so how come ascension hasn't – are there cards? Can you go to a store and buy an ascension card for
Do
someone?
Do we need to have a field trip to the mall to go to Hallmark and see if they've got
like a... Well, it might be a little bit more niche. Maybe it's
yeah.
not, you know.
I really don't know, and I'm guessing you maybe in some tucked away corner that's dusty because, of course, you know, what's really everybody's buying cards for this week is Mother's Day.
Right.
Right.
Right. But it wouldn't always fall right around Mother's Day. It depends where Easter is, right?
Yeah, it moves a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, good
You
point.
Know, they haven't picked up on, I don't know why, I guess I don't have a good theory of why the market has picked up on some holidays more than others. You know, like they love all, like a comparable holiday to Ascension actually would be All Saints.
Mm-hmm.
It moves, it's not always on a Sunday. And of course, that's become a huge
right.
Consumer holiday. And it has religious
sure.
underpinnings. I don't know why Ascension hasn't picked up, or Pentecost. The one that actually is a bigger mystery to me is why Pentecost isn't bigger in most Christian churches, because historically Pentecost should be as big as Easter, because in the same way that like Easter is the coming of the resurrected Christ, mm-hmm. Pentecost is the coming of the Holy Spirit, which is the third member of the Trinity. So you'd think there'd be like this big thing around it.
Yeah.
Well, we observe it, but I can't tell you that like we have to bring extra chairs into the sanctuary on Pentecost Sunday.
Right. 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 All right. Well, what would one wish? What salutation would you use for Ascension? I mean, it's Merry Christmas, it's Happy Easter, it's Happy Thanksgiving. Blessed, blessed, I don't know what. What for Ascension?
Have a great Feast of the Ascension.
I like it.
Okay.
Well, have a great Feast of the Ascension.
Thank you.
Clint Schneckloth is lead pastor at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Fayetteville and a frequent visitor to Ozarks at Large.